Places, please, the dance is about to begin.
Hey, yo, what's going on, y'all? This is Aaron bringing you Food for Thought Volume 105 here with the Semi-Social Life of Black Introvert podcast. I hope that you had a wonderful week wherever you are all around the world. I hope that you had a beautiful weekend. I hope that you are looking forward to something in this holiday season. Y'all, I am, you can probably hear it in my voice, I am super excited about this series that I'm working on called Working While Black, because there's so much happening in the world that allows me to reflect upon my experiences as a Black man working. This world would give so much great inspiration if we allowed to. I've already recorded chapter 2 of Working While Black, which will come out, I'm thinking, on Thursday with this next episode. We'll see, because one of the freedoms of having a podcast and also just of being old is understanding that episodes can be released when I say so, when the time is right, when my kids say, "Dad, when is dinner ready?" It's ready when it's done. And so this podcast and these episodes are much in the same way. They'll be ready when they're done. Because really, I've been using this time lately just to marinate on some experiences. I want each episode to be rich with experiences, with tales, with wisdom, with humor, and even sometimes rich with the pain that may exist with some of these stories that I share. And this series has really given me a space to allow some things to breathe and to see different sides and different perspectives, and to release some of the sentiments, emotions, and feelings that I may have about working while Black or being a Black man in America. Let's take, for instance, the last episode, Podcast Extras, Clintonville, You Have a Problem, in which I discussed this neighborhood, this community, in the city in which I live, Columbus, Ohio. The Proud Boys, who, if you don't know the Proud Boys, just look them up, Google them. I'm sure you saw them at the Capitol building as it was being taken over by nationalists and terrorists. They were there. And so the Proud Boys showed up to Clintonville, here in Columbus, Ohio, to stop drag queens from telling stories and reading stories to elementary kids. And it was a huge deal, not only here locally, but nationally. And it was a big deal because people were like, they didn't expect something like that to happen in a community like Clintonville that is very liberal in thought. It's right next to the university, Ohio State University. So you have a lot of educators, a lot of longtime residents there who live inside the city, and therefore they're exposed to probably much more diversity, and they hold on to ideas of equity and inclusion a little bit more so than those in the suburbs, I would like to think. And so this is the group of people who believe they are woke. And trust me, some of them are. Some of them are. But sometimes you could be so woke, yet you miss what's standing in front of you in plain sight. I use this podcast extras episode to explain that the Proud Boys, they didn't just show up in Clintonville. They're in Clintonville. They live in Clintonville. They go to the coffee shops. They go to the breweries. They work in the community. They have houses. They aren't from Mississippi. They're not driving up from Alabama, where things are clearly racist, right? There clearly is way more racist down there, but not in the liberal community of Clintonville. No, the Proud Boys are there, alive and kicking. And quite frankly, they're there to stay, especially if we continue to operate in these social blind spots of it can't happen here. Not here. That ideology or that belief, that faith, that something of conflict can't operate in a community allows groups like the Proud Boys to exist and thrive. As I explained in the episode, the Proud Boys, listen, they weren't just there in Clintonville. They aren't just living in Clintonville. They showed up to the liberal community of Clintonville, to stop the drag queens from reading to the children, but also on a bigger scale, they're there to recruit because they see that Clintonville, that there are individuals, groups, families that are ripe for the picking, able to be recruited because they are on the fence of America. They're on the fence when it comes to some of these social issues, civil rights issues. They're on the fence when it comes to advancing America to provide more equity for a more diverse group of people. And I want to throw this out there. I'm going to use this term that politicians use. These people that are being recruited, they're good people. They are American as apple pie. They are the soccer moms. They are the coaches. They are the teachers. They are the individuals in law enforcement. They are the people who look like good, patriotic Americans. And that is the end that the Proud Boys see. We can latch them on to this idea, this belief that America, that the America that they once knew or experienced or heard about is being thrown away and its values are discarded, which is viewed as a threat to patriotic America. And so the Proud Boys use instances and situations such as drag queens reading to children and saying, hey, it starts with something like this. Next thing you know, the America that you love has changed completely. This is America. And I think a lot of people have to wake up. The woke have to wake up. Really, you know, the woke have to wake up and see that this is and has always been America, a country in which we place our hands over our hearts and we sing to freedoms and liberties and justice for all. But there are caveats. There's fine print to those liberties and justices that we all seem to sing to. Freedom has some fine print. Equality has fine print. You really have to read the fine print or make a choice to read the fine print and realize that this country, though it has beautiful aspects to it, though there are freedoms here, freedoms that I get to enjoy and take part in, but the freedoms that we were taught, the freedoms that many believe do not exist because there's conflict. There are inequities. There's discrimination. There's racism. There's sexism. There's ageism. There is a system that allows certain groups of certain sexual identities to thrive. And if you're not a middle class to upper middle class white man, then the system that was constructed by the forefathers who were upper class white men is not for you. And so we're challenging this system, and yet America, and by America I mean white men in positions of power, white men who are patriotic in thought, and believe in freedoms, but with fine print, are afraid, are fearful, and some are vengeful. It's the vengeful folks who are the obvious, who are the Proud Boys. But it's the fearful folks who we really need to pay more attention to, because there are a lot, there are a lot of people who are fearful and are on the fence as to what America they want to live in. You know, when hearing some of the comments about the last episode, some people were like, yo, Aaron, we're feeling you right on. You spoke with truth and power. Others were like, yo, you came off as you were being critical and harsh to the folks in Clintonville, which, you know, wasn't my intention. But hey, sometimes the message can be a little bit more raw in delivery, because this is something that I am extremely passionate about, but also this is a life experience for me. This isn't just the Proud Boys showing up to Clintonville. This is the Proud Boys and those like them showing up to places and locations in which I've lived throughout pretty much my whole life. Because I remember the Klan rallies in my community. I remember the neighborhoods that I could not go into, that my father and my mother said, don't walk down the street. I remember being called nigger in the community in which I lived multiple times a year. I remember. And some of those experiences, probably all of them, are traumatic. And there's some hurt that's still there, which is why I am doing this series. But there's also a frustration with when interacting sometimes with woke folks who are just now seeing the discrimination, the racism, the isms, or the system that not only exists in America, but that America is built upon, the system that is not designed for Black and Brown and BIPOC folks. There's a frustration because it's almost as if y'all are just now seeing the stories, you're just now believing us in 2022, or it takes tragedy, it takes protests, it takes body cam footage, it takes Breonna Taylor, it takes George Floyd, it takes national media coverage. And sometimes even then, that isn't enough. Because, you know, there was a time in which stories weren't enough. Thank God for cell phones. Thank God in some ways. Well, I don't want to say thank God for body cams, because those came out of tragedy. But thank God for cell phone footage and for video cameras. Because for a long time, Black and Brown folks were telling stories of racist encounters with law enforcement or just individuals in the community. And people were making a choice not to believe. Making a choice because the person lived through it, or that doesn't seem like so-and-so, they wouldn't say something like that. And so the stories weren't believed, or they weren't taken serious. And then video cameras started popping up, and people were able to see Rodney King being beaten, or interactions with law enforcement, or someone would say something racist on camera. And yet, to some, that still wasn't enough, because, well, I wasn't there to see it. And or this person, well, they were in the wrong too. They were speeding, and you know, maybe there was a reason he got pulled over. And so those interactions weren't believed. And then cell phone footage and body cam footage came out and put the interactions of law enforcement and racists and bigots on full public display via social media or via the news or on television. And still, for some folks, that still wasn't enough. And herein lies the frustration. When is enough enough? When is enough information enough for that, so that you will believe this country that you pledge allegiance to, this country that you won't acknowledge its imperfections, this country is cruel, it's racist, it's sexist, this country is not pure, this country is flawed, and that there's a whole lot of black and brown blood in the red, white, and blue. When is enough enough? And sometimes enough information is not enough until it shows up in your neighborhood, hence Clintonville. Because the idea of something terrible can't happen here, or that it is in a far remote place somewhere deep in the South where perhaps racism exists, okay? Perhaps it exists. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But if it would exist, it exists down South. Where the few non-woke folks exist. But when it shows up to your doorstep, as it did in Clintonville, in a community such as Clintonville, desired, a very desired community, upper middle class community such as Clintonville, when it shows up at the doorstep, and people are aghast, shocked. That's the frustration of some black and brown folks, where now you believe us when it walks down your street. Now you believe us when it shows up to your desired school. Now you believe us when it shows up to your coffee shop, to your brewery, to your neighborhood. It wasn't enough just to have it a zip code over or a county over or a state over, but now you believe it when it actually affects you, when it confronts you. When it shows up and threatens you, when you are in arm's reach of it. It's almost like showing up late to the party. You know, you have your party at from 9 o'clock until 11, and you know, you invite folks and folks show up at 12:55. Like, yo, we're wrapping up the party. Like, we're already thinking about the next party. You're just now showing up asking, where's the music? You're just now showing up requesting songs. You're just now showing up trying to dance. Like, yo, we're tired. We're leaving the party. We've already had last call for alcohol. Like, we're about to wrap up the set. You're just now showing up. Black folks and brown folks are... we're the folks that have been at the party. We've seen these experiences. We've interacted with them. We've been partying with them from the ages of 2. Heck, I'm 38 now. I've been rocking at the same party from the age of 8 to 38. From the first time I was called a nigger till now, I've been at the party. And folks are just now showing up. There's some emotional frustration with that. And I'm not saying it's right, but it's understandable. And if you just are now showing up to the party, glad you're here. But just know that there's work to do. There are conversations to be had. And how should I say this and say it in a kind way? Yo, don't just show up here for the songs, for the dance. Put in some work. Get uncomfortable. If we're using this sort of party as a metaphor, yo, help clean up. Help tear down some tables. Help sweep up some of this mess. Don't just show up. Clean up. Be a part of the breakdown. Be a part of the fight. Be a part of the resistance. Be a part of the protest of this system. Yeah, you're late. Okay, you're late. You know, hey, I may be a little irritated letting you in the door. Okay. But you're here. And I'm glad you're here. Now, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do? Are you going to leave the party and act like you didn't show up? Oh my gosh, it's part of the frustration too. Are you going to see something that is so racist? Are you going to witness something that challenges your view of America and then act like it doesn't exist? Are you going to do that? Are you going to show up to the party and then leave the party and not tell your folks you went to the party? Not tell your friends, your family that you showed up to the party? That you saw something that challenged your belief? That you saw something you didn't like? I've seen this happen because the system creates these avenues, the system divides folks according to race, socioeconomic class, according to sexual identity, orientation, according to age. And really the system is designed for tribalism, in which ultimately we go back to folks who look like us, who think like us. We go back to our communities that raised us. Are you going to go back or are you going to move forward? Clintonville, are you going to go back to believing that the Proud Boys and folks like them don't exist in your community? Or they exist somewhere far, far away in another world called the South? Or are you going to stand upon what you saw, what you witnessed, what you heard, and what you experienced, and what you know is right, and do something about it in a positive way? Not in a violent way, but in a positive way. Are you going to be a part of the change and the evolution of America? Because, you know, I don't really hold on to patriotic thoughts much, but that to me is a true patriot. If you're willing to fight for the freedom of someone else besides you, if you're a freedom fighter, you are a patriot. If you will fight and advance and evolve and protest for the change, for America, for this country that you love, to grow, to honor its words of freedom, of equality, of civil rights, then be a patriot and stand for something rather than being a pacifist and falling for everything. This is a chance for America, for patriotic America, to stand up and grow up, because the fight is in your neighborhoods. It's not showing up tomorrow. It's not on its way. Nah, it's been there and it's thriving. And it's thriving until you do something about it. This is a fight that I've been a part of from the age of 8 to now at the age of 38. If you're just now joining the ranks, glad you're here. You may be late, but it's better late than never. Lend your voice, lend your resources, lend your heart. Invest your knowledge, your wisdom, your platform, and yes, your privilege. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. And as always, be well.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. The journey is over.